theme song. Yep. Well, good morning, friends. It is Friday with Jim, and coincidentally enough, my name is Jim. Kate Brister is with us today, manning the engineering end of the spectrum. And Kate is certainly welcome to join in the conversation as she wants to. And happy to have with us our guest today, Matt Stanley. Matt is the... What's your official title, Matt?
General manager.
Matt is the general manager of the Astoria Co-op, and Co-op's looking at some major changes here in the future. We'll be talking about that, but until we get there, Matt, tell me a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, sure. I've been in Astoria for 8 years now, which is hard to believe. We love it here. I moved here with my wife from California. And we came here to take the job that I got at the co-op running the store when we were still on in the Duane Street location. And we moved in there. We moved up here, and then that store, suddenly the ownership changed and our rent was going to go way up, and we kind of made a move real fast. It was something that there was some pent-up energy to make something like that happen. It happened a little quicker than I thought it would when I took the job on, but it's been a good move for us. I'm from Wisconsin, and I went to school there in Madison, and then I went to grad school in San Diego. And while I was going to grad school there, I started working at the co-op in San Diego called People's Food Co-op. Great co-op. It's a much larger co-op than our co-op. They probably do $15 million a year in sales. And I worked there while I went to school, started learning about co-ops, and just kind of fell in love with the food, the people, and the idea behind how that type of business organizes. And I kind of worked my way up and started working with the general manager there to learn how to run one of them. And then I applied for this spot, and here I am. And now my wife and I have been here 8 years, and we have a 7-month-old little baby at home named Ruby, trying to get her to learn how to sleep. And so, yeah, all good stuff. Yeah. Not the sleep part, not good.
Well, you mentioned kind of your thoughts about the idea of a co-op, and can you tell me a little bit about the history of co-ops? How did they come about, and how are they organized?
Yeah, that's a great question. I don't know. I can't remember off the top of my head. I think it was, between World War I and World War II, people started organizing these purchasing co-ops as a way to avoid exorbitant pricing and gouging and stuff like that. And they started buying, bags of flour and opening these little stores. And the co-op history has kind of gone in these waves, at least for food co-ops, where they really hit a peak and they're very well used. And then for some whatever reason, they kind of fade away a little bit and then they come back. So the wave that we're kind of riding right now started in the 70s. Our co-op here started in 1974. It was a small group of people, many of whom still shop at the co-op really regularly, which is neat. And they wanted to get organic food. They wanted to get it at a good price. At the time, you couldn't get it anywhere at a conventional store. And so they started a purchasing club. And in 1974, they actually opened a storefront down on Marine Drive. And we've looked a lot at old photos of that store. It was a very nice little store that was really well shopped, I think. And it just grew from there. At some point, they moved to this location on Duane Street where the Women's Resource Center is currently housed. And they operated there for, I think, over 20 years. And so we've been around a long time. And I think we've gone through ups and downs like any food co-op, any business that's been around for 42 plus years is going to see its share of good and bad times. And that's the good thing about a co-op. The idea is that our owners, the people supporting us, kind of share those good and bad times with us, and I think they really have. We've done some neat things. When that move was required and our rent was going up and we had water coming through the ceiling and compressors in the basement that couldn't work in the heat, we had to get our stuff together real pretty quickly and decide what to do. And we did that, and we had tons of help with it, and even financing help. We had members loan money to the co-op. And we raised money, and we did that move without any bank financing. We purchased a lot of equipment and new inventory, And it's been really successful in that location. We just keep every year we're growing year over year.
How many members are there now in the co-op?
So we're up to, if you signed up today, we're getting close to member number 3,700. I think if you looked at active members, meaning people who have shopped there in the last year, it's probably a little bit less than that. But I would say it's a solid 3,000 people are using the co-op for some share of their food needs, which is really cool. When you think about our town is, 10,000 people, and our ownership is a household ownership. So it's actually representing a lot of people. It's pretty neat.
Yeah, we've been members there forever.
Yep.
My wife spends a lot of time at the co-op.
Well, I'm sorry, Kate. That's
I was going to ask, do you know your membership number? What's your low number? Do you know it?
No.
Mine's 641. I'm under 1,000.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah.
I bet some cashiers know your wife's number, though, Jim.
Oh, I'm sure they do.
But that's an interesting point. So we actually didn't incorporate as a food co-op till 2004. Before that, it was a buying club. And so in 2004, I wasn't here for that. I moved here in 2008, but they decided, the best way forward was to organize as a co-op and set it up as a democratically run organization that wasn't a club anymore. It was actually something that anyone could join and anyone could shop at it. And you didn't pay a fee anymore. You used to pay a fee. You actually made a refundable equity investment in the co-op. Mm-hmm. And so that was a change. And I think right when that change happened, hundreds of people ponied up, $200 to buy the full share. A share is not $200. It's just $25 a year. So people kind of freak out when they think they have to fork over $200. But it just takes $25 to get signed up and get all the benefits and be a part of our business. And then you become a co-owner. And you, so it's much more than just being a member. You're actually co-owning it. And you have the ability to be as involved as you want to be. You can show up to board meetings. You can run to be on the board. And we have lots of other, ways that we interact with our owners to get feedback. And that was a big thing we did in 2014. We asked our owners, what do you want the co-op to do? We're going to have a lease ending in 2018, and we need to decide what to do. And we got a resounding get more space, get more products in there, make it more shoppable, make it a better place to work. And so that's what we're working on right now.
Yeah, I understand you're looking for a new facility. You got any leads?
I have to be pretty general about it still, because we're still, exploring the options out there. What I can say is that the board has determined a set of site selection criteria that we're using to, determine what ones we're even going to investigate. So we want to be more visible. We want more parking, and we really just want to be able to set up the store so it operates really efficiently as a full service grocery store. We have 2,100 square foot of retail right now. It's pretty tiny, and we're doing $3.5 million in sales out of that little footprint. And it's becoming really challenging for shoppers and staff to operate in that store.
Mm-hmm.
Just this morning, we had to receive, 4 pallets of freight in the drizzle, and we figure it out. Get in the store real quick, and sometimes we have them roll the pallets inside, but it's really challenging. If you saw especially the back end of the store, we're going up to the ceiling. And I know as a shopper, people feel like it's crowded when it's really busy. Yesterday it was just jamming in there, and it's crowded, and workers are trying to do stuff. And, I think if we can get a facility that operates well, shoppers are going to enjoy it. We're going to reach more people, which is what we want to do. The big part of this is we think that by growing the co-op, our impact in the community grows too. So it's not just about, making more money. It's about all the good stuff that the co-op does, supporting local producers, supporting community projects.
Well, supporting healthy eating.
And
that's
healthy
been
eating.
An incredible part of the mission that I have seen just burgeon in the last 10 years.
Yep.
With the co-op is their outreach to the community to teach us how to eat, how to cook sustainably and how to better nourish ourselves. I really appreciate it as a resource.
Well said. And I think people right now, they're transitioning from eating conventional food into eating healthier food. And it's because they want to feel good. You know, that's what it comes down to. People are realizing that their status quo of how they feel every day isn't feeling good. And once you get a taste of feeling good, you want more of it. And so, you know, that's something I think the co-op kind of takes some things just out of the equation. There's no hydrogenated oils. There's no artificial flavors or preservatives. The meat doesn't have hormones and antibiotics. So you take all that stuff right out of your selection when you go in the co-op. And I think that's a big step. And yeah, feeling good, digestion, you know, it's a big thing right now. People want to be able to eat food and feel good after it. And so I think that's a big thing that the co-op provides. And
well, and the other thing that I've noticed expanding on the shelves are not only ameliorating the better nutrition, but people who need help with their endocrine system, their smell. They have allergies to smells and feels and everything. Your products have been so pure. Talk a little bit about what research you have to do to feel like you can put a project or product on the shelf and say, yes, this is good to use.
Yeah, so it's all about reading labels, you know. And that's something when we do a store tour, we always, especially with kids, we tell them, hey, let's learn how to read a label. It's really important, you know, because there's still weird things that happen on product labeling. And one is hydrogenated oils, which also goes by the name trans fats. And I think it's a really good thing. Conventional manufacturers who were using a lot of trans fats are moving away from it, and that's because consumers have demanded it. You know, it's pretty much a given. Any cardiologist or doctor will tell you that hydrogenated oils are not good for you. We used to think they were. That's been totally debunked. But unfortunately, some foods, they'll say on the front, no trans fats, but they'll still have less than 2% hydrogenated oil. So it's one of those things like, you know, is that terrible? No, but if that's something you want to avoid and we know it's not good for us, you know, the fact that it can still end up in that ingredient panel is something, that's something that we're looking at. And then we work a lot with our peers, other food co-ops, you know, to determine, you know, new products that are hitting the market that people, we think our members are going to like. Well, we see how's it doing at other co-ops, and you know, is it GMO verified? Is it certified organic? Those aren't requirements, but for certain ingredients, they are. So we avoid the high risk GMO ingredients. There's actually not a lot of GMO foods that end up in consumer products. The high risk ones are corn, soy, and canola, and those are the ones where if the product is not GMO certified and or certified organic, it's not going to hit the co-op shelves. So yeah, that's kind of what we do. But a lot of it's just looking at what are fun new products hitting the market too, like that the staff kind of gets geeked out on, or I get geeked out on, and let's get that out there. And then usually people like some of the stuff that we like too. So that's the fun part of it.
You say you're less than 2,000 square feet at your current location. You're looking to expand. What kind of square footage would be optimum for you?
Well, so that's a great question. Yeah, we're at 2,100 square feet of retail right now. The total space is about 3,100. We'd like to see that move to anywhere from 6,000 to 10,000 square foot of retail, probably somewhere in the middle there. And we're basing that on working with lots of other food co-ops in the country. And that's kind of another thing about food co-ops. We work together. It's one of the co-op principles is we work together with other food co-ops. And there's about 160 of them in the country operating over 200 stores. And so we get to say, hey, let's look at other food co-ops who have gone from 2,000 square foot of retail and moved to a much larger scale. And so, yeah, I think 3 to 4 times the space of retail that we have now, which is going to be a big leap for our store, for our shoppers. This is still going to be a pretty small grocery store. You know, you got to think Safeway is like 60,000 square feet and Freddy's is like 200,000 plus. So this is still very small, But what it's going to allow us to do is to, you know, receive our freight properly.
I was going to say, you're going to get a loading dock, hopefully.
You're going to get a loading dock. And we're going to be able to have those fresh departments that really make us unique. Meat, produce, cheese, and specialty stuff. Those are the things we want to be able to have more room to merchandise all the products that we'd like to carry that we can't fit in the store. And so that work on that expansion stuff, we're working a lot with other co-ops to make sure that we set it up so it has the highest chance for success. And it's really about attracting a lot of new shoppers, you know, getting the folks who want to feel good and be healthy to come check the co-op out. And we're seeing that already. We're growing a ton just in this space. So,
well, we're talking with Matt Stanley, who's the director of the co-op here in Astoria, and appreciate you being with us, Matt.
I'm glad to be here.
Now, this move, the expansion that you're anticipating, are you going to have to finance that? How are you going to pay for it?
That's another great question, Jim. So the plan is, and we've talked about this in our newsletters, we're going to be asking our owners to be a big part of investing in this project. And so we are planning what is called, in general, it's going to be a capital campaign, but specifically we're going to issue preferred shares. So it's actually going to be different than the common share you purchase when you sign up to be an owner. This will be a share offering to owners who are in good standing to invest in this project. And it's going to be a much larger investment than the common share. I think right now we're looking at a minimum investment of $2,500. And then it'll have a dividend that pays out on that investment. And we're going to raise a nice hunk of money that's going to be the anchor to make this happen. And so we're planning that right now. If anyone wants to, you know, be in the loop on that, they can contact me at the store, or matt@astoria.coop is my email. And I'd be glad to share more information or get you on a list so that when we do have more information about the capital campaign, we can share it. But that's another neat tool that co-ops have access to, is this ability to raise capital and include our owners in investing in it. And we think it's a win-win. The co-op, the more we raise from our owners, the less we have to go to a bank, which means we keep that investment local. And the people who invest are going to get to walk in this new store and really feel like, wow, I helped make this happen. And so it's a neat thing. It's going to be really a big project and a challenge. I think at this point we're looking at that occurring early next year, sometime in the spring.
What kind of budget do you need?
We haven't determined the final number, but it's well over $1 million what we're going to raise from the owners.
Whoa.
And then the more that we raise from them, the less we have to go to a bank. There will be a bank component depending on what, you know, we get from our ownership. So that's a little bit yet to be determined, but we know that we have a rough idea of what the scale of the project is going to be. And but all that's still getting fine tuned a little bit.
And do your preference would be to have it located right in Astoria?
It's the board's criteria is to have it be in Astoria, and we do hear a lot from people. Again, we've been talking about expansion a lot, and I think, you know, last fall we did a equity drive, which was basically what we did, was we asked owners to pay kind of in advance their next equity payment, or to just pay off their full common share. And we did that in the month of October, which is International Co-op Month, and we had a goal of $10,000. And we blew that out of the water. We raised almost $30,000, and that's in $25 increments. We raised $30,000, and so we were just blown away at the support of that. And so we realized we're talking a lot about expansion, and what we want people to know is there's a ton of work going on behind the scenes to make this happen. And we're excited to be able to give people details once we're, you know, past the kind of negotiation phase with how this is going to happen. And so, but that's what we want people to know. This is not a stagnated thing. It's very much moving forward. And So
ideally in Astoria, any indication of a secondary or tertiary location that is up there?
Are you referring to like a second store kind of
no,
a thing?
Like if you were not able to find what you wanted to in Astoria, are you really pretty pretty well decide if you're going to be able to be
this
here.
This is an Astoria thing. We want to set up a full-service store here to serve, because the bulk of our owners are Astoria residents. You know, we did a market study in 2013, and the fact of the matter is, when you look at the map of where everybody is, the big cluster is right here in Astoria, and we, you know, we incredibly appreciate the support we get from the outlying area down south and up on the peninsula, but we do have an ownership that's based here that doesn't quite have the level of services that we want here. The other big part of this is the world of natural foods is super competitive now. This is not 1974. This is not even the 90s, where co-ops used to be the only game in town. If you wanted organic sugar, you were going to the co-op. Now, almost everything you could need is somewhere else. Obviously, we have things that make us unique, but a lot of those staple things are readily available as organic options anywhere else. So part of this project is to set up our co-op to be economically, you know, really resilient to that competitiveness, because a big part of this is the more volume that we do, the better we can do with competitive pricing. And that's a big thing. We've already done a lot. We're trying to tell our owners or people who maybe, you know, have a sense that the co-op is really expensive. I think that's an accurate opinion if you were looking a few years ago. But we have worked a ton on pricing. We've checked with Freddy's and Safeway, and we're really competitive now. And one of the ways we're able to do that is because we've grown the store, we're doing more sales, and because we've collaborated with the 160 other food co-ops in the country. So the PCC, Food Front, Alberta Street, People's Co-op in Portland, we're all pooled together, and we put our purchasing power together across the whole country. And that's how we leverage some really great pricing that's on par with the promotional and regular pricing you see at other grocery stores in town. So if people haven't looked, we would love to have them come look again. Another neat thing we're doing is this co-op basics program. And I knew I wouldn't have trouble talking for a half an hour about the co-op. My wife said, oh yeah, no sweat. You can talk for hours. But co-op basics is this new program that started last fall, and it's everyday pricing on staple items pretty much throughout the store. They've got these purple signs. If you go in the co-op again, look for co-op basics and awesome everyday pricing. It's like a sale price every day on everything from cleaning products to cookies to canned beans to coconut milk to bulk stuff. And they're just phenomenal prices every day that make the co-op more and more a place that you can do the bulkier grocery shopping because you don't have to worry anymore that the co-op is charging a lot more. Mm-hmm. We used to have to. We weren't a part of this collaboration with other food co-ops in the country. We were on our own, and we didn't have a lot of leverage with, you know, producers and distributors, and now we really do, and we're passing that on to our customers and to our members. So,
well, and aside from your co-op's basic pricing, which is new, and I have to admit, I have not seen that yet. I want to go over and check that out.
Yeah, look for the purple signs, yeah.
I'm going to check that out. But the one thing I have noticed coming into my email in the last few weeks are flash sales.
Yeah.
One-day flash sales of something unique, and the pricing there has been incredible. It has been great.
Yeah, those are really fun, and appreciate how much support we've gotten for those. Last weekend, we did, you know, chicken breasts, and unfortunately
I think it's broccoli today.
It's broccoli starting tomorrow and Sunday. Broccoli for I can't say a price on here, I guess, but it's a great price on organic broccoli Saturday and Sunday. We have a ton of it in stock, so sometimes we run out of these things, and this last weekend we ran out way too quick, and so we apologize to folks about that. But we probably needed to set a limit per customer on the chicken. But yeah, those are really fun, and you know, just a great way to remind folks that hey, co-op is a great place to stop on the weekend. It's a lot less hectic than going over to the box stores to get your groceries, and you know, you can get some healthy stuff, support local. And yeah, on top of the flash sale, we have a fresh flyer that's all produce sales. And it's got some meat in there, maybe some beer and wine. And then the co-op deals. Those are, you know, every 2 weeks we have a new set of co-op deals, which, again, is a collaboration with all the food co-ops in the country, and those prices are awesome. They're the same as you're going to see on a sale price over at Freddy's. So why not get it at the co-op?
Well, and talk just a minute about your local outsourcing, your work with the local farmers, local dairies. That has always been such an important point for me.
It is. And, you know, we've got little local tags marking all those things in the store. And for us, local is a little bit more of a focused definition. It's not rigidly defined with a geographical border, but it's mostly producers that we're dealing directly with to get the product to the store. So it's usually not coming through a distributor. We work with several local farmers in the produce department, lots of smaller folks who pick, you know, blueberries, and I'm waiting for this local blueberry picker to bring blueberries today. The most meticulous blueberry picker I've ever seen. Her blueberries are the size of quarters, and they're amazing. I think she's coming
today.
What
time is she coming?
I don't know. I wish I knew. She was supposed to come yesterday. The rain might be a deterrent. But yeah, it's, you know, that is a huge thing that sets us apart, because we spend so much time working with local vendors, you know, making those phone calls, building those relationships, and figuring out shelf space for them. It's a lot of work, you know. I think it's over 100 individual vendors that we're working with every week to make sure the shelves stay in stock. Everything from, you know, super local honey to the produce to other really unique items throughout the store. Local tuna and the milk from the Bennett Family Farm down in Tillamook, which is a great product. It's milk in glass for a really good price for a half gallon.
You definitely need more shelf space.
We need more shelf space. And that's a big, you know, the ability to be able to get more local products on the shelves and sell more of them. You know, right now we have a critical maximum level of local carrots we can sell, just because the volume of sales, the foot traffic we have in the store is just, you know, there's a threshold to that at any given time. And so if we can build our retail sales to the point where they're double or triple what they are now, that's double or triple the amount of carrots. It's double or triple the amount of dollars circulating back into the community. 38 cents of every dollar of sales that happen at the co-op is revenue spent locally. That's vastly superior to the number you would see in our, you know, conventional counterpart. So, and a lot of that's because of the local vendors that we support, both for products and for services. So good stuff.
Good stuff.
So you get produce from local farmers?
We do. And we just had a farm to fork dinner with Chef Marco, and it was a collaboration with Columbia Memorial Hospital. And it was a very successful dinner where we featured a lot of those local farmers. A big one is Glory B up in Washington. I think it's Nacelle. And they also go by Zimmerman Farm, so some folks might know them as the Zimmermans. But tons of produce from those guys and several other local ones that they're bringing the produce right to the co-op several times a week, and it's going on the shelf. And lots of fun specialty stuff. We're working with a new forager guy this year. His name is Matt, and his partner's name I'm forgetting, but he brings these beautiful sprouts and, you know, other wild harvested things that you're not going to see anywhere else. So really, really cool stuff.
Well, that stuff that comes in just off the street, how do you certify that it's healthy, that it's not
sprayed with a bunch of stuff? Yeah. So the Zimmerman's, the Glory Bee Farm that we get the bulk of our local stuff from, is a certified organic farm. Uh-huh. We're certified with the Department of Agriculture in Washington. You can go online and see their name there. The other ones, we visit the farms. You know, you'll see pretty much in any newsletter that we do some sort of a farm visit, and we get to see their operation and make sure that they have a general understanding of what we're looking for.
Well, it's been fun visiting with Mike Stanley,
Matt
Stanley, from the Astoria Co-op. Interesting to learn more about the co-op, and particularly your plans for expansion. That's wonderful to see. So Kate Brister's been running the board here for us today, and I'd urge our listeners to stick around for Albert Smith and his always wonderful Friday Folk Show. So until next week, goodbye.